All right, everybody, can be seated. Glad you're being so friendly. I love that prayer time we just did. I think accomplished a lot. When you get prayed for in a service like this or any time, always remember that that's just either the beginning or the end, and the end of the trauma or whatever it is that you're going through. But lots of times it's somewhere in between there, and so it's really important that you just keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. I don't know why God arranges things like that, but tenacity is amazing when it comes to receiving things from the Lord. And I don't even understand all the dimensions of that. I think there's some warfare dimensions of that where we're dealing with negative powers and stuff. But I just really like it when we just take a moment to pray for each other. And I think it's part of what I'm going to talk about today, the house of God and the gate of heaven. So those are two descriptions of who the church is. I love both of those descriptions. They have all kinds of things attached to them in defining who we are as a people, who we are as individuals, who we are especially in the Lord, and the power and authority that we have in the Lord, which is something I've always loved to talk about. So I wanted to start with the Genesis chapter 28. So Jacob, who was also named Israel, and who Israel, modern Israel, is named after today, was one of the early church fathers. Of course, there's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And through Jacob, he had these sons, which became the tribes of Israel and have been that way. And almost all Jews know what tribe they came from, even to this day. That's followed from, think about that, several thousand years. So anyway, so this Jacob was quite a special guy. He was later named Israel, but I want to just read just a few verses. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying, which is a really big deal. I mean, he didn't have a clue to that moment. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And who's the main offspring that we got blessed through? Jesus, right? That was right down through his line. If I am with you, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Oh, yeah. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that right over the room.
Thank you, Lord.
I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. It turns out those two terms, house of God and gate of heaven, are quite related, because the house of God is the gate of heaven. And so we are the house of God together, both in this place, where two or three are gathered, actually, is the house of God, and then all the way up to the nations and churches and nations and all over the world. But we are always the house of God as the church, and we are always the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven is really important because that's the portal. That's the place where God actually comes and opens the door and comes in. It's one thing to have a house. It's another thing to have the gate. So we're going to talk about the gate a little bit and talk a lot about asking and understanding the way things work in the supernatural world and how we can access those things. So, Lord, we just thank you that you're in this place, and I think most of us are aware of it. So Jesus was the house of God made flesh on earth and the fulfillment of Jacob's dream. So he came in the flesh, and he was the fulfillment of everything that this dream that he was having and that subsequent birth of Israel. So Scripture says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So Jesus made his dwelling. He became a human being, in other words. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, And aren't you glad this is the truth, full of grace and truth? Full of grace and truth. Lord, we thank you that you're full of grace and truth. Grace for our weakness and truth. You never lie to us. You always tell us where we're at, and you always show us the way out. You always show us the way out. You never lie. So we see Jesus giving this word of knowledge to one of his followers named Nathanael. And I thought it was very interesting because as he was recruiting Nathanael, Jesus says something like, you know, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Well, he could have not known that in the natural. So obviously, Nathanael's aware that he's with somebody supernatural. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Right away, just names it right off there, right? Surprising when a supernatural thing happens. And this is why it's so important for us to cultivate these gifts and awareness and be able to ask and words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and just prayers for the sick and so on. Because the world, when they experience something like that, often if it's been a hard enough time, they draw a line quickly to God, right? Straight to that was God. And then they have to draw a line of what am I going to do about it, right? That second line is a little harder, but the first one is they become very, very aware. That's why it's important that we are always the house of God and the gate of heaven for people. And that's not just a nice poem. That is what our job is. We are the house of God. We represent God. And we also are the gate of heaven, meaning that good things pour through the gate of heaven onto people, onto us as well, right? So if you look at these verses, Nathanael answered, declared, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And instantly he's aware of a change, something supernatural. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Lord, I pray that you would let us see heaven open and the angelic activity and the supernatural activity behind our requests, because we are the house of God. And in the house of God, there's angels. In the house of God, there's answered prayer. In the house of God, there are great things. So corporately, as the church, we are the house of God. So it's interesting, isn't it? And God dwells in us corporately and, interestingly enough, individually. So we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about the individual dwelling of place, the dwelling place of God, that's be us. But now he's speaking in 1 Corinthians 3 a little bit more plurally. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? So when we gather together like this, you know, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and I don't think it's too difficult, but the Lord dwells here. Well, especially when we gather together, it's not just about people getting together, it's the Lord here. And that's a significant thing. Depending on how you look at it, if you really believe that, let's just say Jesus appeared on the stage, you know, you would believe that, or you would freak out, one, you know, or both. But, you know, all of a sudden he materializes, but he's already here. And that's where our faith greets that, but it's the promise to every group of people that gather together in Jesus' name, he's here. So what are you going to do with him here? Well, one thing we're going to do is we're going to ask for about as much as we possibly can. That's what I would do. And people did. And Jesus didn't seem to mind.
Amen.
Right? Just didn't mind. They touch him and they get healed. Ask for things. And he had a really hard time, especially resisting people that were just desperate. I really like that about Jesus, don't you? So it didn't change any, but we together are that place. And so we should have a hard time resisting anybody that's desperate and needing prayer, right? Even if they're not so desperate. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. So this gathering isn't just a meeting you could kind of choose or not choose to go to. Yes, that's true. But you have to understand it's sacred. You're on holy ground here.
Thank you, Lord.
You're on holy ground. I didn't define it. If it was me, I would think, no, I don't feel so holy today, Lord. And I know Joe Smo over there and Rita over there, and I'm just making up names. You know, I'm not sure how they're feeling about everything either. They just lost this or they just lost that, you know. But the fact is, God says the temple is sacred, important, meaningful to heaven and earth, and you together, all of us together, are that temple. So as a result of being that temple, like Jesus was the temple of God, right, containing the presence of God, as we are individually, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, individually, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, the Spirit comes to live inside of us. But there's something special with the church of God, and especially when the church of God gathers. And so that's why we pray so much, or like to pray so much, and have we have altar calls, not because it's a tradition, because it's part of the whole thing. If you want the sacred presence of the Lord, then you need to be with the sacred people of the Lord. And the sacred people, the people of the Lord, need to know that they are the sacred people of the Lord. They need to know that, right? So if we know that, and you know that, really good things are going to happen. If we know that and you don't know that, still good things are going to happen. If we don't know it as a church, then we're missing huge things and even miracles and wonderful things that God might have to say and do with us. So there's the sermon, there's the worship, and that's the presence of God is here. But also there's this individual ministry we do to one another. We ask you what's going on with your body or your mind or your spirit, you know. What would you like pray for? And that's also a part of church. And it takes faith to operate in that dimension, even to react. Like if I'll give some kind of call up at the front, you know, if you'd like to be prayed for. Or maybe you could ask your neighbor or friend or whatever. That takes faith, and that's how the kingdom works. But you have to understand that we are the house of God and we are the gate of heaven. And the more we have that revelation inside of us, the more powerful it's going to be around here, right? Because what we need is faith in between our heart and our mind. We need to understand that and who we are. And you can only see that with spiritual eyes, the eyes that Jesus is more than happy to give. Look at Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So when we gather together, we're members of God's family. We're part of the household. Now, hopefully, all of you are a part of a functional household or a semi-functioning one. At the least, there's familiarity, and at best, there's not only familiarity in that family, but love. That you would do almost anything for that member of your family, right? So that's it is with God, same way it is with God's people. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone, in him the whole building is held together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's a revolutionary thing there. That's incredible, if you could believe that. And then if you compare that to also that the Bible talks about the body of Christ having spiritual gifts. We all have different kinds of gifts. There's probably 30 or more of those spiritual gifts that are listed in the Bible, all kinds of things, from serving to miracles, speaking gifts, prophetic gifts, gifts of service, hospitality gifts, all kinds of things mentioned in the Scripture, empowered by the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. And that's because we are the house of God, and also we are the gate of heaven, meaning at that place, what's the gate? It's the way we enter in, right? So we enter into God's presence and into his miracles. We enter into his truth. If you're around Jesus, nobody was around Jesus that was sick very long without getting healed, right? And so that lovely anointing just stayed on the people. He was the gate of heaven, but we as a body of Christ are also the gate of heaven. The higher our level of faith goes to believe that, the more miracles we'll see and the more we'll pray. And so when we're at high tide that way, it's amazing what happens. Often that sort of happens sometimes when we have a guest speaker. Sometimes that helps because we sort of don't see them in the same old light. You know, the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. I'm saying you're being contemptuous of me, but you know, you're kind of, you can kind of get used to the same person or people around you or whatever. But be careful because those same familiar people are absolutely caring. Yes. If you have faith to see it, you'll get a lot of needs met. And when we have a special guest speaker who has a big testimony or has said something, we kind of have a tendency to respond to that, and that's good too. We see the gate of heaven in a little different way. But guess what? We only have those every once in a while. You're just left with me and a couple other folks, right? But friends and people here, and I love it when actually sometimes you encounter a stranger here who just has a word for you that has no idea who you are. And so we are careful to cultivate the gate of heaven part. We like that part a lot. And so we cultivate that a lot. We cultivate in all the classes we offer. My Life in the Spirit class is nothing more than helping you to understand that while you're here, you're the gate of heaven. You're part of the gate where you can get healing and also and deliverance, and where you can also give that to somebody else, right? So 1 Peter 2, 4, 5, as you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. He just declared us, he just compared us to Jesus, didn't he? So we're built into a spiritual house. So we together build this place where the gate of heaven is allowed to operate, where this house of God is, where God lives. To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we offer these spiritual sacrifices. One of those sacrifices is the sacrifice of praise. So that's why we worship the way we do. Worship's not just the beginning of the service, or not just sort of the thing that kind of sets the stage for the sermon or some other part of the service. Worship is the service. This is where we're bringing our spiritual sacrifices to God and offering them to the Lord in the spiritual house. And you know, in the Old Testament, we have this model. When the spiritual sacrifices were brought to the house, good things happened. And when they stopped bringing the spiritual sacrifices, bad things happened. It was just a natural picture of the supernatural that was to be, to bring the sacrifices of God in. There's a little sacrifice in the sense of taking your time and energy to be here, to take your time and energy to pray for one another. But just by being here and worshiping like we do and listening and watching for the Word of God and all of that, we are offering a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. And the way it served in the Old Testament is similar to the way it serves in the New Testament. There's right relationship, but we have something more. I think they probably had a more of a tendency to be rote about that and have the fear of God on them and the what if category of I didn't do a sacrifice back then. But in our time, we have not only the what if, but we have more than that, a lot more than that. We have what if God wants to heal me today. Wonder if I get a word today. Wonder if somebody gives me that hug I need. Wonder if I recognize somebody here today that is my friend. Maybe all these what ifs, and the what ifs are as wide and long as the spiritual gifts that are listed in the New Testament. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of healing. Wow. Prophecy, all kinds of things. We're packed. Yes. Packing. Sorry, I say it that way. We're packing. We got our spiritual guns on, right? We're carrying something. Matter of fact, it says we are houses that carry God's presence and purposes. God's presence and purposes. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which I love this passage, and we go to take it like literally, we've already alluded to it, but I want to say it again in another way. Or do you not know, let me go, 1 Corinthians 6:19, sorry. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? So not only are we temples of the Holy Spirit together, but individually our body carries the Spirit of God, and we're temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. But the important part of that verse in 19 is that we carry the Spirit. So I'm just saying it again, but now I'm just sort of narrowing it down to individually. So the reason why the corporate house of God can exist is because individually we're a house of God, carrying the Spirit, hearing God's voice, and able then to minister from that space. Yeah. And further, from Matthew 5:13-16, we find out that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It is no longer for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. When we're not functioning with our individual light on and our corporate light on, the world gets dark indeed. Very, very dark. Because we're the house of God. We're the gate of heaven. Where there's no heaven, there's no light. Where there's no light, there's no heaven. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So this thing, this church, this house of God is supposed to be visible. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so that's in all of our lives, privately and individually, when we're out there in the community. And I really have been very, very happy about two developments in our church, and I probably mention almost every week, but one is the school that we formed. And it was not without a little effort to do that. And yes, there's the education of our kids, but it's a light in the community. There's something about it that's so amazingly special when we minister to our kids and we educate them in the fear of the Lord and in the and their regular studies and do it with excellence. It's a beautiful thing. It's another way of we shining our light on the hill that we get to shine, you know, for our community. And another thing, of course, is the warehouse and all the ministry that we do for the week, which is getting bigger and bigger by the day. It's a beautiful light. It's a privilege to shine that light. We thank you so much for all that have contributed toward that, both with your time and your money. But it's just such a light, and I see it more every day. I'm actually so amazed and so filled. I literally every day probably walk through the warehouse a couple of times a day. You know why I do it? Because it's like there's a warm fire in there, and I'm cold out in the world. I just go in there and get a warm fire, you know. I see light in there. It's light everywhere. People being ministered to in such a way that we just never would imagine before. People who have jobs that wouldn't have jobs. People that are prayed for. People that are provided for. And just in every sort of way. So the light shines, and I hang around the school a lot. They don't see me because I'm not supposed to be hanging around too personally. But occasionally I'll sneak in there. But I'm often right outside the door, and I'm praying and enjoying the light of the kids and enjoying the teachers and realizing how we're building something into them every single day with the Lord, not just at Sunday school. And I'm so happy because the light of the Sunday school, which is operating right now, is so bright too. And between the Sunday school and the youth ministries and the school, our light shines so brightly into those kids' life. And I am so grateful for those tools, those ways that we found that we could practically on an everyday basis bring reality into our youngest generation's life. I just love that so much. And the bottom line is that there's an open heaven over every believer. So here's the thing, both personally and corporately, right? But when we arrive, think about this, arrive at work, whether you arrive at school, the house of God shows up. It just showed up. And we arrive in this house, you as your little house of God show up in the larger container of the house of God. But you have something inside of you that's unique that nobody else can bring. Spiritual gifts, things about your personality, life experiences that only you have experienced and answers that only you possess. There are certain kinds of people I've noticed that when I pray for them, I pray for them, but I don't have near the answer for them that somebody else might. You know, especially maybe someone that's gone through a prolonged time of cancer and got through the other side. When you pray for a person with cancer, man, I'm telling you what, the house of God shows up because in your experience, you can have every empathy and compassion and wise advice and counsel. Same with someone who's gone through a horrible divorce and come up the other side, and you come to somebody that's going through one or having difficulty. We are uniquely equipped. We arrive, the house of God shows up. And that's for everybody, not just those two examples, but all of us have something to offer because all of us are these individual temples that are hearing from God, receiving from God, have experience with God, and therefore can release it. So it makes sense if we think about this, how supernatural this place is and how crazy it would be not to come to church. Or to come to smaller gatherings of church, which is even better, like on Wednesday nights where we have classes and stuff where you can actually talk and go back and forth. I've been really enjoying my life in the spirit class because I actually built into it this time a little bit. I've been doing this step by step, a little bit more talking back and forth than just simple teaching. And then that life in the spirit class, I do especially for newcomers. You come, you know, on Wednesday nights at our class, just come. And it's great. So you can get to know us and know what's in our house. That's one thing that's really great about it is I tell you all that's in the house. There's some things you might not know about our house. And then I don't just want to tell you about it. I want to demonstrate it. So we were prophesying over each other the other day and a bunch of new people. It was great. And I just challenged them. I just jumped right in the river, you know, and they're prophesying over each other. It was awesome. And because the house of God, that's in our house. And so even if you're a new person, if you're hanging around here any length of time, I'll guarantee you, any kind of commitment you make, eventually you're going to be prophesying, you're going to be hearing God's voice, you're going to be dreaming dreams, and you're going to be asking people, what does that mean? And you'll probably get healed along the way or heal somebody. That's in the house. That's who we are. And that's what every house should have, right? Because when we arrive, the house of God shows up. Like Jacob and Jesus, we are connected to the angels who are busy ascending and descending, carrying out their assignments to us and through us. What an amazing thing that is. Even the angels are involved, right? Are not all angels ministering spirits, the scripture says, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So even the angels are in on this house. Because what they do is they minister to everyone that inherits salvation, to those who will inherit salvation or who have inherited salvation. So they're ministering spirits. So the angels know about us, know all about us, right? This understanding accounts for the many amazing comments Jesus made about us in the scriptures. So he comes, but even before the church begins, he's working with his apostles that he's going to send out, and he's talking to them about the house of God and the gate of heaven. Matthew 10:7-8. As you go, as he's sending them out, he'd send them out as teams, right, while he was there overseeing. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. They must have felt so ridiculous about this. They're the first ones that got the concept. You know, I'm the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that a little bit like braggadocious. I show up and the kingdom of God's here. Well, could I just tell you, it may sound a little braggadocious, but that's exactly the truth. When you showed up, the kingdom of God just walked in the room.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. That sounds a little bold. I didn't say it. I didn't say it at all. But that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And that means you walk on the job site a little different. You walk into a school a little different. You walk into the grocery store, for heaven's sake, a little different. Because the house of God, the presence of God just showed up because you're there. The kingdom of heaven has come near. That's actually the wording would be the authority of God is pressing on you. As you go, proclaim this message. I showed up. The rule of God now pressing on you. It's right here. It's not just come near like, hey, I'm hanging out. I'm proximity. The word really means come near means it's pushing on you. It's like a throttle. There's pressure that just came in the room because I just showed up. And like sometimes, amazingly, we try to make sure that we don't show up at all, that we don't want to be too aggressive. We don't want to show up arrogant. Fact of the matter is, if you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, what's supposed to happen is every time you show up, it's supposed to press on people.
Yes.
You're supposed to leak. I mean, it doesn't matter where I'm standing with parents on the soccer field or whatever. I find I'm getting very leaky these days. Every conversation seems to turn back to something good, the Lord, or something about God. I can't help it. I just leak.
Yes.
So do you. You do. Even your countenance gives you away. You're sillier. You don't look like the world. They smell something different, but they can't quite understand it. So you just tell them what's different. I know you're smelling something different. It's this rare perfume. It's called the kingdom perfume of God. Right? It's just, you can't help it, right? And by the way, even if you try to be so respectful around your soccer moms and your friends and your schools and everything, try to be so respectful, they smell it. They smell it. If you're a Christian, they know something's weird about you. You know, if you're a kid in school, you're in high school or college, you're in that class, you know, you start smelling funny to them. I remember that so much in high school. You know, I was a Christian in high school, and I was able to, you know, just kind of be myself and represent the Lord and everything, but people knew I smelled funny. I could tell it. They looked at me strange every time I came up. Every time I come up, the conversation would clean up, you know, and everything, and the dirty pictures would the pornography would be shoved under the table. And weird stuff like that, right? Most of the part, they didn't care. They didn't do stuff like that. But there was always something there. And actually, in high school, I felt a little lonely sometimes. I felt a little lonely sometimes because I know they put me in this certain category, you know, and so they were stop talking about certain things, stop, you know, fellowship in a certain way, you know, and then kind of sometimes leave me alone, right? And so I spent a little bit of time alone in high school, but it's because I smelled funny, right? And that's just the way that we are, right? And we should be proud of that, not die discouraged about it. It was a little confusing as a high schooler because one of the things you want to do is fit in. But I found other people that smelled like me, and it worked out really well. So look at this. The understanding accounts for the many comments Jesus made about it in Scripture. Look at this one. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. That's Matthew 21:21-22. Let me just go back. This is even more dramatic than that. Look at this. Matthew 21:21. House of God, gate of heaven. Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Whoa. Really?
Yes.
So let's don't talk about a real mountain, but I know I'm looking at a lot of people here who have mountains in their life. If I were to ask how many people would say, you know, I've got a mountain in my life, you know, a fair number of you, probably a third of you or more, would raise their hand. Maybe that's one reason why you're in church today. I don't know. But if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I'm going to say it again. Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, listen, do not doubt. Don't let that throw you. It doesn't mean you have to wash your brain, like brainwash, and just not let a little doubt creep in there. It just means the way you carry yourself. You have fears and doubts and worries just like everybody else. It's not that you become doubt-free. It's that you actually manage your doubts. Amen. And your fears. You don't let them get the best of you to lead you down a wrong path. Fear in itself is nothing. It's just what you do with it, right? Truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you also can say this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea. I can't tell you how many mountains or maybe obstacles that have been removed when I had like about that much faith. But it was enough. We think we've got to be totally brainwashed, robot, da-da-da, no doubt, no little creepy thing in there. I'll tell you, I've had plenty of miracles with a lot of doubt. My actions were the thing that made the difference, not exactly my state of mind. If you concentrate on your doubt or how you're fearful or whatever, if you concentrate on that, you won't hear God. You just go in there with your faith and your doubt, all of it mixed together, and actually faith is actually operating in the middle of maybe some fear. The best miracles I've ever seen were when I was terrified, and I did it anyway. I stepped into something and I prayed anyway, or I did it. That's the best miracles I've ever have happened. I've been in that situation where I just didn't know if I was appropriate for the situation, but I just did it in faith anyway. And I've had some things that, you know, didn't go great that way too, so I don't want to lie to you, but I'm just telling you, I've had enough of them that I know that faith isn't brainwashing. Faith is pressing forward, even in the midst of your doubts. Some of you have family members that don't know the Lord and haven't known the Lord for quite some time. Don't stop being you. Just while you're being you, be nice to them. But you can't give up your convictions, and don't give them up for a second. And if they see you giving up on your convictions, they're thinking to themselves, wow, they've known the Lord for a long time. What help is there for me? Because I don't believe any of this. You just step in. Sometimes the best witness you can have, the way you can be the house of God, is in the midst of your doubts, in the midst of a trauma, in the midst of a situation, believe anyway. And hold your faith up and trust. And you know what? They might not believe that anything's going to happen to you, right? Or anything's going to change in your life, but they will admire that you've kept your conviction. And I tell you what, they'll remember. They will remember. And you just became the house of God and the gate of heaven when they remembered, especially maybe later in their life, and they ask you, well, you know, I remember you were kind of afraid and this happened and everything, you know. If you cry up too triumphantly, I don't think they ask those questions, but if they saw what you went through and you were afraid, but you got to the other side of it, you know, you become like salty there. You become like a gate of heaven for them because you're real. So our weaknesses aren't... This is not getting rid of your weaknesses. It just means in spite of your weaknesses, you just walk with the Lord, right? Amen. Mark 6, 37, 38. Now, Jesus kept taking this house of God, gate of heaven, with his disciples. Man, he ran them through the ringer. And if you notice, the whole thing is they're terrified. They're negative. They're not like, oh, of course we will walk on water. Oh, of course this feeds, like right here. You give them something to eat. They said to him, that wouldn't take more than a half a year's wages. Are you kidding me? Are we going to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them? How many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. And so they count them all up, like five and two fish. And then he has them and he passes this bread out. And I don't know what it would have been like. I just would love to have seen that. Maybe we'll get a reruns in history and we'll get to see. But these guys, there's thousands of people, and they got enough bread, you know, for like 30 or 20 or right. Here we go. You know, and they're out there in the middle of nowhere, and those people are hungry. They could have got mobbed. I'm sure that more than one of them thought, I could get mobbed, right? Anyway, so they did it anyway, and it was multiplied. Because when they showed up and did the little thing in faith, the house of God and the gate of heaven just came. Even despite their weakness. Oh, I can't say that enough. I'm feeling it so strong. The house of God has got weakness mixed in with strength. Maybe everyone has weaknesses and stuff. But for wherever we're at and what posture we're in, we can all exercise faith. And that is what makes the kingdom go around. The church is now the gate of heaven for the world to know God. And I want to read from a couple of passages. And I just got into that just a little bit about the world knowing God. But look at this verse. And this is so interesting because this is Jacob, and then he has this incredible dream, right? Always late, you know, in midst of transition. When Jacob woke from the sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So what happened was he had this dream. And in the dream, he saw a stairway resting on the earth, which with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So how many of you know when Jacob's in that place, it's not so great, right? So he's having a hard time. And so he has this dream, and the stairway is resting, and it's reaching to heaven. The angels of God are ascending and descending on us. And the only reason why on him, and the reason why I brought it up is because that's actually a picture of what happens with us. It's our picture as well. And look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Just listen to this. Paul says this to them. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?
Yes.
And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? So there's two sides to that. One, individually, you're the temple of the very presence of God. And then all of us together, God dwells. So again, that's why we know we're a house of God and a gate of heaven. And a gate is a place of transition and access. God's people are the place where heaven meets earth. That's why Jesus said, on this rock, I'll build my church. Amen. Peter and the church received power to bind and loose on earth. They were given the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus said that. That was his statement about them. And they had a really hard time believing that. You give them something to eat. And they were in training, and he sent them out because he wanted to demonstrate that they really had the keys of the kingdom. The gates of hell are empowered when we do not take captive the devil's thoughts and intentions. So that's why the scripture calls us the salt of the earth and the leaven in the world. That's why we have to keep shining, whether we have COVID or we have some other thing, you know. And I know that politically this is a really charged atmosphere. But what I do like about what's going on, and I don't think there's any better time than this was exemplified with Charlie Kirk. I just was so proud that many people, including some people from our church, Brent, you especially, I was so proud for you to go to that. And I'm sure there were some other people there. But gosh, I don't know how many thousand there were there, but it was a lot. It was a lot. And all of them were there. And they were all believers. I'm sure there were some media people mixed in, but they were believers. And they didn't just go to have a propaganda rally, you know, have a political thing. They were worshiping God. And if you watched that, and there was testimony given about God, they were being the light of the world. And I thought to myself when I first heard that they were going to do this, I'm thinking, wow, I mean, I don't know what to think about that. You know, he just got killed and assassinated, and now we're going to fill that stadium. Or I wonder if only a handful of people come. Tens of thousands of people came from. And I hope you're all happy about it, because I was happy. And I was happy that any people that went, it was just amazing, because they weren't trying to, I don't even think, they weren't trying to be political as much as they were spiritual. I got to honestly say that in that meeting, I don't know, from what I heard, right? I'm sure politics leaked through, and I'm sure that the other side was seeing that way. But it was a genuine meeting of believers. And it's still going on. The reverberations of that are still in our country. And this is the way it should be. And sometimes it seems foreign to us that we would be the gate of heaven and the house of God. The house of God's easier to handle, but the gate of heaven? What's the gate of heaven? That means there's a gateway to somewhere else. And where's the gateway? Well, it's kind of twofold. One's the gateway we let God in, but also we go out through that gate to the world. To the world. So we're God's witnesses. We're God's leaven. We're God's light. We are the house of God wherever we go. And we're part of the gates of God, right in the earth. We walk through that to the world. For though we live in this world, we not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have power to demolish strongholds. So we're actually armed and dangerous.
Yes.
Not literally. But we're bringing down powers and principalities and authorities. That's what Charlie Kirk's life was about. He was confronting at the gate of these colleges. He was confronting them. with the gospel and whether the Lord might see those things, right? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What kind of strongholds? Mental and emotional strongholds to keep people acting the wrong way, serving false gods and hurting themselves. We demolish arguments. Isn't that interesting? And every pretension that sets up against itself the knowledge of God. That's what he was doing. He was demolishing arguments, right? I'm sure he didn't do it perfectly. But at least he was out there. And he was the only gateway. He was the only gate for a lot of young people to go through, and we're seeing the result of that. He was the only gate for many, many places that we couldn't reach as a congregation. But he's reaching on those campuses. So where's your gate? Where's your gate? It's in the context of your life, what you do for a living, where you go to school, in the context of your community. Like, that's one reason why I like what we're doing, and I want to do more of it. That's why I want the land across the street. I think there's a lot more ways for our light to shine. And while we're here, if we don't let our light shine into the community, I want to build community things there. I want light so bright that you can't miss it, right? And we have those things, and I want more. I think there's more. I got some things that I think could be even a bigger light. There are things that are powerful needs in our midst. One of them is moms don't know what to do with their kids if they have to go to work and they're like 3 years old. Yeah. Well, we could have like a place for you to go, and you might even be able to work right across the street. We'll take care of your kids. Wow. I love the Salvation Army because they're actually doing that now in really nice neighborhoods. Purposely. They used to work only in, you know, beat up places, difficult places for the poor, but they work now. And just, you know why? They saw the kids. And I just, my heart melted the first time I heard that. And I went and visited one of them. I saw it being set up in Tustin. And I thought, oh, that is so right. Those kids, they don't have any place to go after school. And then there's parents that don't know what to do with their kids preschool. So, wow, what a great place. What a place for heaven to reach earth. What a gate of heaven. What a place for the house of God to be. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and set every pretension that sets up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So I suppose there's some marketplace extension there, but most of this has to do with the false pretenses, the arguments, the philosophies in the world that we're believing, the pretensions that look like God but are not. And we have the power both to demolish those in the community, but also in our own heart and our own life. We need to start there, right? And there's some really dastardly pretensions that set up, like, I'm sick, and I guess that's just God's will for me, and I'm supposed to stay that way, you know? Things like that, lies that have been told you. Well, I guess that I could probably never, you know, I did this and this, and I'll never be able to prosper this or this. I mean, those negative thoughts are everywhere, right? But we have the ability to say, no, that's not the truth. Here's the truth. And we show it to them. And if you know the Word of God, you find out how many false things are pressing on us, our community, our whole nation, but also individually. The lies that are told. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He's called the father of lies. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And I'm going to just tell you, that's in every area. God brings goodness. He's good. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I care about your finances. I care about your body. I care about your brother, your sister. I care about your marriage. I care about your family. I care about it all. Furthermore, I will dispense the power and authority necessary to make all of that turn out okay. Because you know what I do? I cause all things work together for good. That's what I do. Romans 8:28. What a bodacious promise. That's part of the house of God, the gate of heaven. All things work together for good for them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. Amen. Sandy, all things. All things.
Amen.
All your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their shalom, yes, which means in every area. I just declare that over you. And I could declare that over 15 other people, 20 other people, 100 other people, 500 other people in this room, right, and on the live stream. Peter strayed into enemy territory with human thinking one time. You remember that? And it's okay to have human thinking. Sometimes we mess up. But it's just important. Jesus said, so he's about to go. He says, I'm going to be delivered up and I'm going to die. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, I don't know. The word's rebuke. Never, Lord. Never, Lord. Never, I'm going to allow that to happen to you. He said, this will never happen to you. But he didn't, he strayed in it with human thinking. He didn't understand. He thought he was actually, and you know what? I want to just say something about that human thinking. There's a lot of humanism out there masquerading as God, but the people don't know it. So you might want to go easy on them a little bit, but there may be a line where you have to draw, right? Because this human thinking that looks God-like but isn't can really do a lot of people in. People, he said it to Peter, and I would have expected you to say, well, you just don't understand, but later you will. What does he say? Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And I tell you what, that's probably the first time you ever got spoken to like that. But Jesus is about to go to the cross. And I think it maybe isn't for his own welfare. He needed it. Because I think, in his humanity, he was tempted to go the other way. You see in these disciples and everything, and he just knew he couldn't fall into that place because that wasn't the destiny God had for him, because he was, at that time, doing something unusual. He was at the house of God. He was the gate of heaven, and he knew there was things that he had to do. And then furthermore, he makes these other things, these other comments, like Matthew 18:18. Listen to this verse for all of us. So if you don't pray much, you know, just can I enlighten you a little bit, just encourage you a little bit? Look, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So are there some things on earth that are bothering you about your life today? Some things that, like, I would really like to happen, like to be loosed in terms of pleasantness? Well, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Is that like, wow, is that an invitation for you to be the house of God and the gate of heaven? But look what he says in the next line. This is the part that really amazes me, and it's the part that I constantly try to work on in my own life. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's where the gate of heaven is. That's one of the gates. Agree with another person and say, would you please pray with me? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am with them. I think we changed the election. I think Christians changed the election. When we were in here praying before the election, I've never seen two or three gathered together in Jesus' name like that. I've never seen us so violent, so crazy, so not violent, that's the wrong word, but this is a intense. And all those small groups praying and crying out to God for our government. I hope you haven't stopped doing it, you know. Last time I checked, the government could still use a lot of help, right? And the world, right? But look what we get. And what about those two? I see, they're called husband and wife. What about those two? Oh, that's just for like outside the family. That's not for the husband and wife thing. Or for that best friend of yours or whatever, right? Wow. It's right there in our mouth, in our heart, that close. We don't do war as the world does. They keep trying to get us to do that, but we don't do it like they do. We're not like them. There are things that we agree about what the government does, and we're fine with them, policies and stuff, but then there's like these places where we don't go there. We do something different. We have a different way of approaching this thing, right? And the Lord helps us. We're a revelatory of people equipped to understand what God is doing in heaven. If anybody should know what God's doing, we should know it, right? No, even on the earth. We interpret things, and the world doesn't want our interpretation. But honestly, and I'll just say this, so we're years past COVID, so I'll just say this. Before I probably would have stumbled people. But we knew a lot and had a lot right about that. And if you care to look at the science a little bit, what they've discovered since, we realize now, but this thing that was COVID wasn't like they were revealing it to be. And there was so much overreaction that it actually injured and damaged people. That's what we know is the truth, right? That's pretty common knowledge. So taking care, being careful, those things that we did, I think we played it just about right, right? But in times that come up in the past, I'm only saying this because there will be times in the future where we as a congregation, this is one of the first times that I know of, we as the body of Christ worldwide had to kind of figure out what in the world's going on here, right? And our response to it, how do we respond? Well, the first thing I knew that when I saw the panic, I realized, well, God's not there. I can't go too far that way. I could be alarmed, but this panic and fear, amen, this is not the Lord. And this is only going to lead us to no wisdom whatsoever. So wherever you see panic like that, warning, warning, something's wrong here. That's a big deal. That's why the body of Christ was slow. We're going, wait a minute. We're concerned, but we're not all freaking out, right? And that may happen in the future. There will be other challenges that the body of Christ is going to have to deal with, but we're equipped to understand what God's doing. We might not get it in the beginning. I mean, in the beginning, we're just as puzzled as everybody else. But we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. And so by people that live on the mouth of God, He talks to us. So as we began to pray about COVID and all the other things that have been happening, we kind of, I began to get a rhythm about it. I began to go, oh, okay, I get it. Okay, little by little, da-da-da, went to the tent a little bit and everything. Stayed in there for a while, goofed around, hated it, but I did it for a while. And then I went, let's go back. We're ready. And so we spent a few months taking precaution. And actually, as a result, we got a lot of video stuff done that you see and all that, which is great. So for us, it actually worked out better. But it took a little time to sort of get the mind of the Lord on it. And God will give you the mind of the Lord, right? Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, He will show Him even greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed. So as revelatory people, listen. Here's a really critical thing about revelation. When you feel the tenderness of God, you can hear His voice. When you're panicking and full of fear and anger, it's difficult to hear God's voice, right? So revelation goes with the house of God, gate of heaven, but not in a wooden way. It's when compassion is in you. Compassion is in you. And I didn't close the warehouse out of compassion during that time, because I saw the need. I saw what was happening, and I thought, I just paid attention to my compassion. And I saw households and families, and I just did that. And I always seem to get it right when I move out of compassion. I hear His voice. For the Father loves the Son, and He shows Him what He's doing. So when you feel the love of God, you kind of know what the right time is, what the procedure is. When you don't hear God's love, when you feel alone and broken and all to pieces and everything, beware of what you hear, because God will bring that compassion to you. He'll bring that concession to you. He'll comfort you, help you hear His voice. It's one of the greatest deals about hearing and feeling God's compassion. That's why I talk about it incessantly. One of the moves of the Spirit in my life, in the Spirit class, I'll do that. And we'll probably do another seminar or something sometime soon. Just the love of God in your heart helps you hear God's voice. When you don't have God massaging your heart, when you can't hear, feel His compassion in you, it's hard to hear His voice. But His compassion's always available. Just what gets in the way of it sometimes is the trouble and the negative thinking and the things that people say and what the world says and their point of view. He tries to invade you, but at that point, you know, there's always a place inside of you. There's an altar where you can go and find the compassion of God no matter what, no matter where you're at. And that'll help you. That'll guide you. You know, Jesus told His religious leaders of His time that they didn't know two things. This is two other additional things that really help you hear God's voice, right, and be the house of God and the gate of heaven. They didn't know the Scriptures, and they didn't know the power of God. Two things that are, along with the love of God, equip us to be mighty women and men of God. Knowing the power of God and what He's able to do, what He wants to do, and that He wants to do His kingdom on earth, and He wants to heal people still and deliver them. And the other part of that whole thing is just understanding the Scriptures, the scriptural understanding is important from beginning to end, the long picture, the bigger picture, not just a scripture here or there to quote, but the whole way God deals with people. That's why I encourage you to read your Bibles through every year. You know, I've been doing that for many years, and one of the biggest reasons why I get the bigger impression, I get the feel of what God's like in a variety of circumstances. I don't just stay in my favorite passage, but I read all of it. I read how God dealt with this person and that person. So you become like a library of the way God deals, and you become aware. That's why going through the Bible every year is such a powerful thing. If you do it in a religious spirit, it's one thing. But if you do it to know God, to be equipped by God, I want to hear God's voice, it's such an avenue for hearing God's voice You know, when you're in the marketplace, when you're somewhere else, God brings back these characters. Character traits of the gateway people of God. I'll go through these really quick. We are on the offense, not the defense. We are normal Christians who put ourselves at risk drawing on the invisible resources of God, because Hebrews 11:6 puts it better, the best. And this is one of the scariest passages in the whole Bible. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoa, that means you're going to be in trouble occasionally. That means there's going to be some things that threaten you. So you just got a chance when you have to exercise faith to be happy with God, to please God. Because you're in a bad situation. It's an opportunity to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. But also this other thing. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it's profitable too. It's not only the right thing to do, but it's profitable. This is the house of God. This is the characters. We're on the offense, not the defense. We're normal Christians who put ourselves at risk, drawing on the invisible resources of heaven, put ourselves at risk, meaning maybe in situations that maybe we're called for. Maybe we take that extra mile with somebody. We take a chance with something. We do something. You know, I don't know that anything really happens worthwhile without a risk step of faith. Honestly, if you want progress in your life, progress in your job, progress in your family, you're probably going to have to take a risk somewhere or another. If you just want to live a risk-free life, you're not going to see much of the gate of heaven or the house of God. And if you're put in those circumstances, don't be afraid, because now you get a chance to exercise your faith. You get an exercise to move the house of God forward in your life. Yeah. We love generosity, worship, and prayer because they release the supernatural blessings of God in our life. Luke 6, 37-38 says, "Give, and it shall be full. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you." So two things. Forgive and give, it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you measure out will be what you receive. Luke 6:37-38. Forgiving and giving. Notice the word give instead of the word forgive. And so these are character traits, but they have huge payoff. Give and it'll be given to you. And then he says, I want to say that again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. When you're a giving, generous person, when you're a forgiving person, even when people are knuckleheads to you, when you have that giving anywhere, you can respond anyway, guess what? You get good measure, pressed down, shaken together, because the gate of heaven is just open wide to you. And it's beautiful, right? It's a wonderful thing that God does. Sometimes our greatest trials turn into the greatest sources of provision for us, both in the time that we're going through it and then for many, many years to come. I'm just right down at the bottom of the page on 3C there. We guard our minds, weeding out negative thoughts that give an enemy a stronghold. This is a really important thing. Be careful with your thinking and your sticky thinking, right? And so I want to just say 1 John 1:5-9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, there's no more beautiful passage than that. When you learn that passage, it's going to be good for you. So when you sin, just be a good confessor. Even the little stuff, even the things that nobody sees. Just say, God, I did it. I did it. Sorry. I really did it. And be done with it. Don't carry it around for 5 years. Finally, you get to the place where you confess it, or don't confess it and still feel guilty. Wipe it clean. There's no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Confess it, get it off your plate, and move on. That's how you stay healthy in the house of God, in the gateway of God, and keep hearing his voice over and over and over again. So we want to be not darkened understanding according to Ephesians 4. Just want to read this verse here. The world's darkened understanding is separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so they indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. You know how you get to that place? And it gets worse and worse, because from that space, all kinds of horrible things happen. Falsehood and all kinds of things, and you sow horrible seed. That's why it's so important to be a good confessor. Get it done. Don't dwell on it. Move in a different direction. Don't let, because the longer that you hold sin in your heart, the longer you do negative things, the harder your heart's going to get, and the harder it is to be confessed and to admit that's even a sin. So being a good confessor is part of the gateway of heaven, gateway people. It's part of the gate of heaven and the house of God. It's normal reaction to circumstances. It's normal life in you. Being a good confessor, and just saying what and being admitted and put it out in the open, sometimes even to other people. So the worst thing that could happen to you is losing your sensitivity to wrong things. That's the bad thing. Because then you just joined the devil's side, and guess what? He only has one agenda for you, and that's to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? So you don't want to lose that sensitivity. It says, having lost all sensitivity, they give themselves over to sensuality, so they indulge in every kind of impurity. That's one place that the world's in right now. And then it says, and they are full of greed. So when we have things happen, we need to have, it's in them because of the hardening of their hearts. So you don't want to have a hard heart. You want to have a soft heart, right? All right, we're down at the bottom here. Just want to finish with this. The power of praise and thanksgiving. Oh, man, I just love to talk about this. Because praise and thanksgiving has so many dimensions that are so helpful in our life. So Paul is there, and we talked about that last week again. So he's in jail, right, and he begins to worship, and we know that story in Acts, right, in Acts chapter 16. So he's in jail, and he begins to worship, and suddenly the jail opens up, which is highly significant, and the jailer doesn't know what to do about the whole thing. Paul says, well, let's just get you saved. He gets saved, takes him home, for you know what? He goes from jail out. They let him go. By the time he's done, the magistrates are begging him to go. What is that little change there? Man, that's what we are. When we're positive like that, even in a negative place, when we're thanking God and praising God for victory, even when we're in the worst circumstances, you're just releasing heaven into the place. And eventually, it'll catch up with you, even if you're in jail right now. I just want to say that for a moment. Just remind me, Denise, tell me, get me back on that about jail. Just if I forget, say jail, Mike, okay? Because I want to finish with this. Philippians 4:4-8, our normal characteristics of the house of God, normal way to walk. Rejoice, Lord, always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Yes, yes. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. This is house of God stuff, right? But in every situation, how many situations? Every. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's part of your inheritance, is the house of God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he says, you know, this is the way I live. Whatever you've learned or seen or heard from me, you know, put it into practice. I want to be able to do that someday, be like, just look at me, man. Of course, that would be kind of hard to say, arrogant, but he's literally saying that. No, you know, when I was like, when I was with you and all that trouble I went through, you know, I just react like I did. He's really referring to his jail experience. And how he handled trouble, right? So again, what was he going to tell me about, Janice?
Jail.
Okay, so let's talk about jail. Because I want to start right there with ministry. Won't we all stand? So we're going to have our worship team come. I just felt like, as I was preaching, I kept hearing the Holy Spirit in the back of my mind said, you know what? This needs to be a get out of jail day, a day for people. And so there's one kind of jail. And I tell you what, sometimes we go into long trials. There's short trials and long trials. And they are so long that we stop monitoring the way we're thinking about those trials. And we get in a rut. And then occasionally what will happen is we'll wake up and we'll go, man, I've become this really negative person. This thing has beat me up. And I can't even function hardly anymore. So what happened was you acclimated to the pain, but you did it in a negative way. You either tried to ignore it or you got mad and bitter about something or some other dysfunctional way other than, Lord, thank you that you're in control. Lord, gathering people around to keep praying for you and declaring the promises of God back to him. Right? And so when that goes on for a little bit of time, what happens is you get in jail. You find yourself in jail because more darkness tries to come and it adds to the problem you already have. And I felt the Lord tell me when I got right to that point, I wasn't expecting that, but I was preaching, I'm hearing with my other ear. He said to tell them they can get out of jail today.
Thank you, Lord.
Tell them I'll do a special work today. I'll help them get out of jail.
Yes, God.
And I'll start something and you may have to follow it up tomorrow and the next day. But I think it's about time to stop thinking about your problem in a certain way, or maybe ignoring your problem in a certain way. And maybe we could just think of it this way, like putting a smiley face on it instead, right? Those smiley faces. Just put it on the thing that hurts. And it's more than a smiley face. It's more than superficial. You're exercising faith. I'm declaring to you today, God, this thing sucks, but all things work together for good. Within the love of the Lord and called according to his purpose. I declare, Lord, that I'm part of the house of God. But I declare I'm at the gate of heaven. And the house of God's good. And the gate of heaven's wonderful. And I don't care how bad it looks. I'm not going to wear that face anymore. I'm going to let it get me down. And when I let it get me down, I'm going to turn and I'm going to make a change. I'm going to worship till the jail cell comes open. I think there's a number of people that if you would do that in faith today, you might find whatever mental or emotional jail you're in, and maybe even the physical jail, disappear. But the emotional, mental jail is first, and you might want to make this a habit from now on until you can get yourself to the other side by God's grace and just by the worship of the angels, by the worship of God and the angels, with the angels. Jesus' name. So why don't you come forward? If you need to put a little smiley face on a situation that's been there a while, I want to ask God to do a special thing, help you with your face, and the second thing is I'm going to help you with your problem. I can have the worship band come up and we'll worship, or some music, whatever we want to do. There's got to be some worship. We have the worship guys still here? Okay. I got a really good feeling about this, guys. Some of you are going to walk through the gate of heaven today. And some of you are going to be prayed for by the house of God today. Is there anyone in the house of God that could pray for these people and agree with them that something good is going to happen to them? And this is going to change. So I want two kinds. One that are dealing and trying to get the negativity and the despair out. And the other side, they're going to pray for you. I'll have a couple of words of knowledge for that. For you that have been in pain, literal pain in your body for years, I'd encourage you to come.
Thank you, Lord.
For you that have situations from a past divorce or utterly horrible betrayal situation and you can't get over it. You put plastic faces on it, you put plastic things on it, but they break. And you want to get over it today. Why don't you come up as an act of your faith? And we'll just pray and ask God to break it. Any of you that have been experiencing a painful loneliness that has been existing for a long time and you find yourself so alone, it's just, you just like to even go to a mall maybe and just be with people. Lord, I pray you would break the loneliness and I pray you'd open the doors and I pray you'd open friendship and belonging, Lord. Lord, I pray as we finish today, you would literally turn this house into a house of prayer. And I have another category just to help you with this. You that have had physical injury, physical pain in your body for years, maybe even 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, migraines, physical symptom that you've kind of coped with it, but every time you think about it in a certain way, it just breaks you up and you can't understand. Or a memory from a family situation, a divorce that still is gnawing at you and doesn't seem to get well. Lord, I pray today as we minister to each other in the house of God and we take it to you, I pray, God, you would wash us of that and you would do something miraculous in us today. And I pray, God, that once again we would be free. And then our freedom that we could actually even give away to other people. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com and we'll see you next time.